Welcome to Hope for Today, a weekly Bible teaching program that will bring you hope for every day. Thank you for joining us for this look into God's Word, the incredible book which never changes and is relevant generation after generation. It was good for your grandparents, and it will be just what your grandchildren need. Today, we look at the first part of a two-part teaching. It is from Mark 6, where Jesus sends out the 12, two by two. Imagine how this must have felt for them. They were expected to go out without Jesus and do the things he did. I am sure this was an important stage in their training as disciples. Let's go now with J. Mark and learn together about the disciples' commission.
One of my earlier life experiences was working in a cabinet shop. And at the shop where I worked, there was an older, experienced cabinet maker who taught me most of what I know about the trade. I was not engaged in any kind of a formal apprenticeship, but I enjoyed working with him and we both got along very well. Something that always amazed me about him was his ability to fix other people's mistakes. So I was a small shop that I worked in. We had about a dozen employees, and inevitably, somewhere in the process, mistakes were made or a product got damaged. And when that happened, they brought that damaged product to the older man I worked with. He could repair almost anything. It was amazing. And so even today, I'm grateful for the opportunity I had to work with him and learn from him. You know, today we often discuss mentoring as though it's a relatively new concept. It's not. It's just another word for apprentice. Or there's an even older term, a disciple. And whenever I hear that word, I think of the 12, the disciples of Jesus. As we work through Mark's gospel, we see how the 12 accompanied Jesus from place to place. They listened to his teaching. They saw him cleanse the lepers, restore sight to the blind, heal the lame, and they even saw him bring dead people back to life. They heard his teaching, and not only that, they saw him live out what he taught. In all of this, they were learning what it meant to be his followers. But in every relationship like theirs, there comes a time when the disciple needs what we call hands-on experience. So here in Mark chapter 6, Jesus commissions his disciples and sends them out to preach the gospel of the kingdom. He sends them out to put into practice what he had been teaching them. Today, every person who repents of their sin and by faith accepts the sacrifice of Christ becomes a disciple of Jesus. And as disciples, we're called to proclaim the gospel. All disciples need to be part of a local church fellowship because it is in that context that newly converted persons can be discipled. Paul's epistles give us clear guidance on how this process should work. Much of what is recorded in the Gospels is a historical narrative. It shows us how Jesus began to establish the kingdom of God on earth. Not everything that Jesus and the 12 did is commanded for us to do today. But we can learn many valuable lessons by observing the underlying principles of these historical narratives. And our text for today illustrates what I'm talking about. In Mark chapter 6 and verses 7 to 13, Jesus gives specific instructions to the disciples on how they are to carry out the assignment he has given them. Jesus probably would give us different specifics today than he did back then, but there are still important principles that you and I can learn as we study this portion of Scripture. So let's begin. Listen as I read Mark chapter 6, beginning with verse 7. I've entitled our study, A Disciple's Commission, and I will share this teaching in two parts, the first today, and the second part the next time we're together. Here is the Word of God. And he called the 12 to himself and began to send them out two by two and gave them power over unclean spirits. He commanded them to take nothing for the journey except a staff, no bag, no bread, no copper in their money belts, but to wear sandals and not to put on two tunics. Also he said to them, in whatever place you enter a house, stay there until you depart from that place. And whoever will not receive you nor hear you, when you depart from there, shake off the dust under your feet as a testimony against them. Assuredly, I say to you, it will be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. So they went out and preached that people should repent. And they cast out many demons and anointed with oil many who were sick and healed them. Our text notes several important principles that should be understood by all of us who receive a disciple's commission. The first principle I see is delegated authority. At the beginning of our text, Jesus called the 12 together for a meeting. He is sending them out in groups of two as his ambassadors, his apostles, to preach the kingdom of God, to cast out demons, and to heal the sick. These six pairs would be able to cover more places in Galilee than if they all stayed together. But they weren't going to do ministry on their own strength, because Jesus gave them what they needed. Verse 7 says that he gave them power over unclean spirits. Here, power means authority. Jesus gave the disciples the right to act in his name. Incidentally, the original word is in the imperfect tense, indicating that Jesus continued to provide them with power throughout their time of ministry. His presence and power went with them the whole time they were out there. This is the principle of delegated authority. Jesus gave the 12 the might and the right to carry out their commission, and that principle still applies today. We have been delegated authority by virtue of our relationship with Jesus Christ. And so as Jesus' disciples, you and I are called to proclaim the kingdom of God. Now, don't let the word preach in verse 12 scare you off. It simply means to herald or proclaim or publish, and we can all do that in one way or another. But we work together toward the same goal, making Christ known. This authority over demons, is it for us today, or was it just for that era? I believe that you and I have that authority today. The scriptures tell us that Satan is the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the sons of disobedience. And so he actively opposes God's plan, and he accuses us before the Father. But you and I, through the power of the name of Jesus and the power of his blood, have access to a power that is greater than any demonic force. Numerous times through the years in my work here at Heralds of Hope, I have felt opposition from forces of darkness. Calling on the name of Jesus and the power of his blood and asking him to rebuke those spirits led to visible results, and it also increased my faith. And so I encourage you to use the delegated authority that God has given to you through Jesus. You know, today, demonic activity is no longer hidden. It's out in the open. The preoccupation in our world with immorality and violence proves that Satan is having his way in the lives of many, many people. Unfortunately, there are many who profess to follow Jesus that open themselves to the power of demonic spirits. We must understand our authority in Christ and learn how to address these challenges effectively. And then what about healing the sick? Is the gift of healing obsolete? Is it non-existent? By no means. You probably know people who were miraculously and instantly healed. To say that any of the gifts of the Holy Spirit are non-existent today, to me, is putting a limit on God and his purposes. And I won't do that. I would acknowledge that we do not see this gift of healing exercised nearly as much today as it was in the early church. But there is another point I'd like to make. Let's look at verse 13. It says that the disciples healed many who were sick. The word healed in the original is therapuo. In addition to the idea of curing disease, it also means caring for, attending to, or alleviating suffering. It expresses compassion for those who suffer and a willingness to serve them. I believe that compassion is essential in proclaiming the kingdom of God. You and I may not be able to heal in the same way the disciples did, but we can show compassion to those in need. Jesus taught us that the alleviation of human suffering, accompanied by the proclamation of the gospel, is a powerful force in moving his kingdom forward. Historically, Christians, motivated by the love of Christ, have built more schools, more hospitals, and other humanitarian facilities than any other religious group in the world. In all of this, we need to remember Jesus' words in John 15:5, "Without me, you can do nothing." And so the first principle of a disciple's commission is the realization that we serve with delegated authority. The second principle that we need to understand as commissioned disciples is delineated simplicity. Now, to delineate means to describe something in detail, and that's just what Jesus did. In verses 8 and 9, he gave the 12 specific instructions for carrying out their mission. Those commands presented a delineated simplicity. First of all, he said, "Take nothing for your journey except a staff." That's amazing. He said, "Don't take a bag to carry food. Don't take bread." Well, that makes sense, since they weren't supposed to carry a bag. And then he said, "Don't carry coins in your money belt." And finally, "Don't take two coats." Now, we might think of a coat as an outer garment, but the word Jesus used refers to close-fitting inner garments. It's like the equivalent of leaving your clean underwear at home when you go on a trip. So we have to ask, what is the point of these specific instructions? I believe Jesus wanted them to rely on him and him only. They were being sent out with his authority, and he wanted them to see that he could protect them and provide for every need they had. Having no resources to fall back on, they had to fully put their faith and trust in him. Don't we as humans often want a fallback position in case things don't go as we expect? But Jesus didn't give the disciples a fallback position, except for their lodging. These restrictions, along with the unfolding context of Mark chapter 6, suggest that they had a reasonably short time to carry out their mission. Are Jesus' commands to the 12 still the model for missions? One significant difference between the setting in Mark 6 and today is the level of hospitality, because in biblical culture, hospitality was a requirement. You might recall, the widow in Zarephath took her very last morsel of food and gave it to the prophet Elijah. When she did that, she had no idea God would use her obedience to sustain her and her son, and yet she showed hospitality. If you read the scriptures carefully, you'll repeatedly see this display of costly, self-sacrificing hospitality. It was this kind of hospitality that the disciples were to rely on. And that's where we'll need to end our teaching for this episode.
Thanks, J. Mark. This is a good topic to think about. I had to wonder, are we apprenticing with Jesus? Are you being mentored by him? As his disciples, he doesn't use the exact same training program for each of us. However, there will be themes and commonalities that each disciple must learn. Jesus may not ask you to do exactly what the 12 did from today's lesson, but there will be other opportunities for us to learn the same principles. If you have any questions about today's lesson, or if you would like to contact us, you can reach us by email or online. Our email address is hope@heraldsofhope.org, and our website is heraldsofhope.org. Please, contact us with the method that is easiest for you. We look forward to hearing from you soon. Thanks for joining us today, and if you can, join us next time for the rest of this lesson on discipleship. Discipleship is learning from Jesus and becoming more like him. This is not something we do for 3 months or 3 years and then we're done. This is a lifelong process of modeling our lives after his. Luke 6:40 says it best. A disciple is not above his teacher, but everyone, when he is fully trained, will be like his teacher. And this is our goal, to be like Jesus.